This sermon was preached March 26, 2023, at the Episcopal Church of the Ascension in Knoxville, Tennessee. It's entitled Entering the Resurrection Narrative by the Breath of God. Breath of God, fill us anew and lead us into everlasting life on earth. Amen. As a child, I had asthma attacks. My lungs would close up and I would become fearful that I would not be able to breathe. The worst was when I was dancing and the anxiety of performing would seize my lungs and leave me short of breath. I was a member of the Tennessee Children's Dance Ensemble, and we performed all over the United States and went to Europe a couple times too. One late fall weekend, the dance company was preparing for a performance at the Cumberland County Playhouse, and my lungs started to collapse. Even at 9, I knew it was related to my nervousness, but I didn't know how to manage what was happening in my lungs and in my body. The director of the company stopped the rehearsal and had me lay down on the stage. I was mortified. I've always hated being the center of any kind of attention. She coached me into slowing my breathing down, and even though the whole company was watching me, slowly but surely, my lungs started to work again. She made the executive decision to take me out of that particular dance that evening, and I was both relieved and ashamed that I couldn't make my body do what it needed to do. I was unable to rise to the occasion. Years later, I was coming off call at University of Tennessee Hospital. For a whole year, every sixth night, I spent the night at the hospital and served as the on-call chaplain. Now at UT Medical Center, chaplains respond to every trauma that enters the trauma bay, every code, every other call that comes through that pager looking for a chaplain. So most nights you work all night. It's simply a matter of degree of cases for that which you've attended to, not whether you work all night. One morning I walked into the chapel coming off call and I fixed my eyes on a sailboat painting that hung behind the small altar. And I saw myself on that sailboat. It was like taking a snapshot of my life. I was using my childlike asthmatic lungs, blowing the sails of the sailboat of my life. In my heart, I heard the whispers of the Spirit, "Sit down." I looked around. "Stop breathing into my sails. That's my job. I am the wind. Sit down." So I sat in a chair, and also I imagined sitting down in the boat. I slowed my breathing down just as my dance teacher had taught me all those years ago, while tears streamed down my face, exhausted, wondering what it would be like to get out of the way, out of God's way. Would I know how to get out of the way? How would I even know I was in God's way? Would I even know how to allow the Holy Spirit to do her job, allow her breath to carry the boat of my life? It was as if the prophet Ezekiel was prophesying to my breath, my bones, and most importantly, my spirit. "Sit down, Caroline. Let my breath into you so that you might actually live." The places in our lives that make us short of breath are the places that bind us. The very places that bind us are the places yearning to receive the breath of God so that we might actually live. They're the very places that call us to be set free. In the very lengthy gospel reading this morning, we hear the story of Mary, Martha, and the raising of their brother Lazarus. Something in this narrative moves me deeply every time. All the friends and family who come and gather when Lazarus dies, Martha's confidence in Jesus' ability to raise her brother, Mary sitting at Jesus' feet yet again, Jesus weeping, Lazarus walking out of the tomb, the people unbinding Lazarus and setting him free. Jesus tells the disciples more than once that the timing worked out as it did, so as to glorify God through it. If Jesus had gone immediately to Lazarus, there wouldn't have been a death. The people wouldn't have gathered to console Martha and Mary. There wouldn't have been a need for a resurrection. there wouldn't have been an opportunity for the community to participate in Lazarus' unbinding. There wouldn't have been a foreshadowing of Jesus' own death and resurrection. Author Jan Richardson writes, "I'm continually struck by how Jesus calls out to Lazarus, but does not go into the tomb and drag him out. When he hears the sound of his name spoken, I keep imagining in utter love and hope, Lazarus has to choose whether he will take that first step that will lead him out of his own grave. So Lazarus knows the breath of God to enter him and offer him life yet again. He chooses to walk out of the darkness of the tomb and into the light of life." I'm always struck by how that binding could have fallen from Lazarus as he walked out of the tomb, or how the Spirit could have breathed through that binding and freed him, or how Jesus could have walked over to Lazarus and unwrapped the binding. All of these options resonate deeply with my theology. I've often thought of our loving God or the Spirit breathing through what has bound me through life and setting me free. And here recently, I found my daily dialogue with Jesus unbinding me and setting me free in unexpected and life-giving ways. And the reality is that every time I've been set free from being bound by something, there's some aspect of community, some aspect of the Spirit moving between me and another human being, or between me and other human beings, that releases me from being bound. It's incredibly vulnerable to think about other human beings being part of our deepest spiritual experiences. I think most of us would really rather leave that experience to the Trinity and one's own soul. When other people are involved, it leaves a lot to chance, doesn't it? Will they respond? Will they grind their teeth in revolt? Will they even realize there's an invitation to participate? Or might they block the breath moving through? Might I get in the way of someone's unbinding? We see throughout Scripture that sometimes people are so angry that God doesn't act according to their will that they become aggressive and violent or apathetic and disengaged. Like in the book of Acts, when Deacon Stephen is preaching, the people's hearts are pierced, and instead of turning to God in their vulnerability and asking, "Now what, God?" they grind their teeth and stone him to death. Both sisters, Martha and Mary, said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Lord, if you had been here. We hear whispers in the crowd as Jesus asked for the stone to be rolled away. Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Couldn't he? The people could have stayed so upset with Jesus for not coming earlier that they could have refused to participate in unbinding Lazarus. They could have stayed with this narrative, "Lord, if you had been here, couldn't he have done this differently?" They could have missed the miracle in front of them. Lazarus was raised from the dead, walked out of the tomb, and Jesus invites everyone into the unbinding. And as far as we know, the people pivot. They let go of their narrative and step into a resurrected life with Lazarus. It's in this letting go of the previous narrative and entering into the resurrective narrative with their friend, neighbor, family member, that God is glorified through what is happening. It fills me with wonder. How do we let go of the things that bind us and allow a resurrection narrative to emerge? How do we receive the invitation to participate in the resurrection narrative of those around us? How might we allow others to participate in our unbinding? And how might God be glorified through our doing so? In the end, the process of being unbound is one of, if not the, greatest blessings in our lives. When we can truly allow the life-giving breath of God to enter us and release us into resurrected life, our lives are changed forever. Jan Richardson has a blessing entitled Lazarus Blessing. It goes like this: "The secret of this blessing is that it is written on the back of what binds you. To read this blessing, you must take hold of the end of what confines you, must begin to tug at the edge of what wraps you round. It may take long and long for its link to fall away, for the words of this blessing to unwind in folds about your feet. By then, you will no longer need them. By then, this blessing will have pressed itself into your waking flesh, will have passed into your bones, will have traveled every vein until it comes to rest inside the chambers of your heart that beats to the rhythm of benediction and the cadence of release. It's interesting to be talking resurrection language while we're still wandering around in the wilderness of Lent. Seems a little premature to entertain the hope of Easter blessings, the breath of new life amidst the doldrums of these 40 days and 40 nights. And yet, our Christian theology always engages our imagination about what is to come, what hope lies ahead, how God might be made manifest in our lives, and how our lives in Eastertide, or even Lent, might be used to glorify God through it. As we make our way to Holy Week, might we be mindful of all the ways God is calling us to get out of the way, allow the breath of God to fill us anew, so that come Easter, we too might be unbound and fully alive. Amen. I want to invite you to join me Friday mornings at 8:30 Eastern to live meditations on Insight Timer. You can go to Insight Timer and look up Caroline Vogel, or just Insight Timer /CCVogel. And there you'll find links to be able to meditate with me live Friday mornings, 8:30 Eastern Time, again on Insight Timer. If you're in the Knoxville area, I want to invite you to Offerings from Spiritus Knox, a center for spiritual learning and practice. It's a mission of the Episcopal Church of the Ascension here in Knoxville, Tennessee. You can find more information about weekly Sunday evening offerings, as well as retreats and author visits, at our website, www.spiritusknox.com. Look forward to seeing you soon.